many ayat in the Quran that refer to this. In Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, ayah 29, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, huwa alladhi khalaqa lakum ma fil ardi jami'a. It is he who has created for you all that is in the earth. Thumma istawa ila as-samai fasawwahunna sab'a samawat, wa huwa bi kulli shay'in alim. And then he directed himself to the heavens, so he made them complete seven heavens. And he knows all things. So he's the one who knows all. He knows what has happened, what is happening, what will happen from the beginning to the end. All existence is present at all times in the knowledge of Al-Alim. He knows the hidden and the manifest, the small and the great, the before and the after. Al-Alim is derived from ilm, knowledge, which results from comprehending the truth about something and from the sure conviction which agrees with reality. So, his knowledge encompasses everything in existence, even before anything begins to exist. Nothing can escape his knowledge. He's the one whose knowledge is inclusive. Again, I repeat, be it apparent or hidden, minute or magnanimous. He knows its beginning and its end, what is above and what is underneath it, and what results therefrom. He knows what has happened and what will. The knowledge of the unknown is with him. And so is the knowledge of the hour. He knows what the wombs bear when the rain falls, what every soul earns, what evil intention one harbors, what worldly desires he or she conceals, when and where everyone will die. He knows the details of all things, the particulars of things, and one's conscious, and what one's conscious, and what one's nafs or soul hide. Nothing, not even something the weight of an atom in the earth in the heavens can ever escape. Now, once we realize that, so many things come into our mind. The first thing we've got to understand, that Allah is not constrained by time and space. See, human knowledge is derived from things that exist, while existence itself is derived from the infinite knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In ayah 29 of Surah Al-Imran, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Say, whatever you hide, what is in your hearts or manifest it, Allah knows it. And He knows whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. And He has power over everything. And the ayah I mentioned yesterday from Surah Al-An'am, ayah 59, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِهُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. And with him are the keys of the unseen treasures. None knows them but he. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. He knows what is in the land and the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. And not, there falls not a leaf, but he knows it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ذُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَتْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Nor a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything green nor dry, but it is in a clear book. Maybe to get a glimpse of the relationship between divine knowledge and divine decree and destiny, which we will inshallah talk about, because these questions come into mind, maybe I can give an example which will make us understand what this knowledge is. For example, before writing a book, an author must have its full content or knowledge of its full meaning in his or her mind. What I'm trying to say is that the book exists as knowledge or meaning. Now, to make this knowledge or meaning visible and known, he or she must express it into words. Before doing this, he or she will arrange it in chapters or sections or paragraphs, make a blueprint, and then write it down, and that becomes its material existence. Even if the book is destroyed completely and vanishes, it continues to live in the memories of those who read or heard it, and in the mind of the author. So the existence, that existence in the mind, is a thing's essential existence. Even if the thing in question is not put into words or practice, its knowledge exists in the mind. So, although knowledge or meaning needs matter to be seen and known in this world, it is the essence of existence upon which material existence depends. And so likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full and exact knowledge of the universe and of all its contents. And that's what these ayat of Quran that we just recited, literally that's what they're trying to say. Everything eternally exists in His knowledge. And if we think that because He knows everything, we are victims of destiny or wronged by fate, then we've got it wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us free will. And free will may be called insight. It is an inclination or an inner force by which we prefer and decide. And Allah uses this free will. He takes it into account when dealing with us and our acts. However insignificant our free will is when it compares with His creative acts, it is still the cause of our deeds. And it is this knowledge that we need to be able to understand when we apply Al-Aleem to our psyche. So Abdul Aleem is one who strives for knowledge first of himself or herself. They pray for knowledge and wisdom in dealing with others. Not formal knowledge, that can be acquired, that is information transfer. But creative in the sense of how to be able to reach their full potential by serving others. Let me give you a story that maybe may bring something to life. There's a well-known story about Prophet Musa alayhi salam and the shepherd. And it shows the creativity of the shepherd as opposed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, who is reprimanded by Allah for having forgotten the importance of a creative approach when it is sincere. Musa alayhi salam once comes upon a shepherd who was saying, "Ya Allah, who chooses whom you will, where are you that I may become your servant and sew your shoes and comb your hair, that I may wash your clothes and kill your lice and bring milk to you, O the worshipped one, that I may kiss your little hand and rub your foot at bedtime, sweep your room." The shepherd was speaking in these words of love and Musa said, "Who are you addressing in this way?" And he said, "I am addressing the one who created us, by whom this earth and sky were brought to sight." And Musa alayhi salam said, "What? What is the matter with you? What babble is this?" The shepherd felt so ashamed. And he said, "Ya Musa, you have closed my mouth and have burned my soul with repentance." He heaved a sigh and turned towards the desert and went on his way. A revelation comes to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, in which Allah said, "Musa, I sent you to bring people to me, not separate them. Musa, I have given everyone a special way of acting. I have given everyone a peculiar form of expression. I'm not sanctified by praise. It is they who become sanctified. I don't look at the tongue and the speech. I look at the inward spirit and the state of feeling. I gaze into the heart, O Musa, to see whether it be lowly through the words uttered, may not be lowly. I want burning. I want passion, Musa. Become friendly with that passion. Light up the fire of love in their souls." And that's what knowledge is all about. A truly knowledgeable person is not one who just transforms information or transfers information. It is one who draws closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and draws everyone else closer to Him too. No matter what their position, no matter what their status, their ability or comprehension may be. It is the learning, the knowledge of not to be quick in judging others by their outer form alone, but allow for their inner creativity to come out as well. If you recite Ya Alim 100 times after every salah, you'll be able to see certain things which may have escaped your notice. In fact, if you make it a habit of reciting Ya Alim 150 times every day, then your understanding and your perceptions will, inshallah, improve. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that one who every morning in dua says Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah with whose name nothing at all in the heavens of the earth can ever harm, and He is the hearing, the knowing. If you say that every morning, or feel it, or think it every morning, you will not be afflicted by any sudden calamity till evening. And if you say so in the evening, then there will be no sudden calamity till daybreak.